So picking up in section 49F of the outline, we're going to be reading the New Covenant, which is the basis for the institution of the Millennial Kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34 reads, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more." So the New Covenant, the basis for the institution of the Millennial Kingdom. And those who have had their bodies changed and reunited with their spirits, so that would be constituting the church, the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints, will have bodies that are fit to be in the very presence of God. Now, in the Millennial Kingdom, believers are going to go in, but they're going to have children, and their children are going to have children, and so forth. So there is going to be some sin around us in the Millennial Kingdom, but we will not be partakers of that sin, nor will the Lord remember our former sins throughout that 1,000 years, you know, and I thank God for that, that Jesus isn't going to be going around reminding me of all of the foolish sins that I've committed in this life on earth. The next section is 49G, and this deals with life in the Millennial Kingdom. This is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, we have read, "Blessed is holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." These are believers. "Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So, life in the Millennial Kingdom. We've got some insights with regard to life in the Millennial Kingdom in a few different passages in the Old Testament. And I'd like to take a read of them. As we said, the Bible doesn't exist in a vacuum. Revelation doesn't exist in a vacuum. There are many, many things that were prophesied before that inform us as to details of what the Millennial Kingdom was going to be like. Now, back in those days, when the Old Testament prophets were writing, they didn't have the benefit of Revelation, so they didn't have a full picture of how that whole fulfillment was going to work out. But we do, and we can be very thankful for that. We're going to take advantage of it. So we're on 49G in the outline. Life in the Millennial Kingdom. The first passage, the first Old Testament passage that deals with life in the Millennial Kingdom, is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which reads, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their shares into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So, life in the Millennial Kingdom. So, Jesus is going to be there, and everybody is going to be making a pilgrimage to get up there and to get to see Jesus and to get as close to Jesus as possible. He's going to be reigning from Zion, from Jerusalem. His word's going to go out, and his word is going to go. It's going to be the be-all and the end-all, and There's going to be perfect justice in the millennial kingdom. Right now, so many times we don't see justice, and certainly not perfect justice. So we're crying out for justice, and the Lord Himself is a holy and a just God, and all His judgments are faithful and true, just as He is, just as His name is, and they will be faithfully and perfectly executed in that day. So life in the millennial kingdom is going to be a perfectly just society. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9 is the second passage which deals with life in the millennial kingdom. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall graze, the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the further characteristics that we find here with regard to life in the millennial kingdom is that there will be a harmony and a peace between human beings and the animal kingdom. Harmony and a peace between human beings and the animal kingdom. The third passage which deals with life in the millennial kingdom, this is also from the book of Isaiah. And these passages I'm reading you are by no means exclusive. There are others, and simply going with some of the clearest and most representative here. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25, kind of an extended passage, but there's some beautiful and wonderful details here. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Actually, one more comment before we jump to Isaiah 65. Note with regard to the animals in the animal kingdom, that passage is to be taken within the millennial kingdom, and it's not an eternal state passage, and we'll get there when we get there in the eternal state sections in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. But this prevalence of the animal kingdom is something that is for the millennial kingdom and not necessarily so for the eternal kingdom. So if you think you're going to feed cats and dogs for all of eternity, I don't know about that. At least we can't prove it from the scriptures beyond the joy of being able to do that kind of thing in the millennial kingdom. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25 reads, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create." So there it is again. We're not going to be remembering this sinful world with longing. We're not even going to be remembering it all, as a matter of fact. "For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in here, nor in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days." So no weeping, no sorrow for the believer who enters into the millennial kingdom. And no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. The folks who go in from the church, the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, there's no more death. The second death has no power whatsoever, spiritual death. And they've already experienced physical death, the translation, that is we. And these people who are going to be growing up in the millennial kingdom are going to be the children of those believers who survived the tribulation and come in to populate it. And they're going to be given, like us, the gift of free will. And some of these folks are going to rebel against Jesus Christ. They're going to complain against perfect justice, if that's possible. And you know, sometimes we get justice in this life, and we still complain about it because we wanted a break or some preferential treatment or something like that. So people tend to be pretty discontent, even with justice, and that's the human sin nature that dwells within us. But according to Revelation chapter 65 and verse 20, there's actually going to be a judgment upon folks who rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ in His perfect millennial kingdom, and that judgment is going to be death. They're going to be accursed. They're going to be cut off. They're not going to fulfill their days, and the Lord is simply going to remove them from the earth. They're going to receive their just due. They're going to experience physical death, and then they're going to experience a spiritual death, having rejected God even while He was here. Imagine that. Imagine that, friends. And but you know what? A lot of people did it the first time He came, and that same thing's going to happen. So there's going to be a lot of generations which are going to be born, populating the earth, who that are descendants of those believers who entered into the tribulation kingdom and the children and all, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to repopulate the earth, and there's going to be a whole bunch of unbelievers coming around, and these are the people who are in view who are being spoken of. And if you don't have a literal millennial kingdom understanding, and you don't have an understanding as to who's entering the millennial kingdom, and you know, and who these children actually are, this isn't going to make any sense. So that's why we're going through all of this. Isaiah chapter 65, picking up in verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people. So, you know, in other words, the people are just going to live a really long time. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. So again, who's going to have offspring? Well, obviously it's not going to be the church, the Old Testament saints, or the tribulation saints, because we'll be in a glorified state. You know, so we're going to be like the angels in heaven. We're not going to be reproducing offspring, but the folks who go into the tribulation will be. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So we're going to have an amazing communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, almost like in a telepathic sense is the idea here. And I don't think we can really imagine it quite much until we get there. And we also, again, we have a reference to the harmony within the millennial kingdom. The fourth passage that deals with life in the millennial kingdom is Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And this is a parallel passage to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which we had opened with. Now, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Fellowship is going to be raised to a much higher level than what we have here today. We'll be walking in perfect fellowship with our Creator in the millennial kingdom, and that will give way to the perfect fellowship in the eternal state. And we'll also have a perfect fellowship with one another in that day. We're not going to be bickering amongst ourselves, as you unfortunately see so much of in the church today.